Now, is Paul a very hard man here? He was. While Peter grew up as someone not wanting to confront people, Paul grew up as someone who confronts people. Takes initiative to confront people. And you all know the infamous story of Paul in Acts 8. He was the chief instigator of the persecution against the Gentiles, against the Christians. He was actually carrying approval letters from Jewish leaders and from the temple leaders to persecute, prosecute, jail, kill, exterminate the Christians before God met him in Acts chapter 9. He was a very hard man. And Paul admit these things about himself in Galatians chapter 2. Look on in Galatians. The book of Galatians. What did I say Galatians? Sorry, it's Timothy, sorry. Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. He says, in verse 12 and 13, I thank Christ our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although, and this was what he was like, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. So he's a very hard character. Tough fella. And hard-hearted. I mean, a person who could put women and children in prison just for what they believe. You think what kind of man he is. And if you read the story of the Inquisition in those days when the Catholic Church was persecuting the Protestant people, the Inquisitors don't even behave like Christians. And a lot of the confession they get from the people they imprison were confessions they get out of torture. And out of the misery of torture, people admit to things they never did. And then they hang them, burn them, put them on stakes or whatever. And you think about it, how can Christians be so cruel? Same way, how can Paul be such a cruel man? You know, Paul was a religious man. He was very, very religious. He thought he was serving God. Now, how can religion make a person so cruel? And a lot of times, people do things in the name of religion. They have fought wars in the name of religion. And even in our time, in the 21st century, people are doing things in the name of religion. Why does religion make people so cruel? Because when they neglect to see the fact that all relationship with God is not a hate relationship, it is a heart relationship. You know, people who are cruel to others probably have been cruel too. People who have been who are persecuting others probably must have a very hard life, where people must have persecuted them and make their life very hard. You know, their life is hard, so they make life for others hard. Somewhere, someplace, somebody needs an inner healing. Somewhere along the line. And you know, if the Apostle Paul did not have inner healing from all his anger, he was an angry man, and insolence includes anger. He was an angry man, religious man, self-righteous man. If he didn't have an inner healing, he cannot be used by God. And although he retained his character as one who confronts issues, something changed in Paul's life that brought a healing. And I can only point to glimpses here and there of the man that Paul had become. In the book of Acts chapter 20, in talking about his ministry to the Ephesians, He says in verse 31, now this is the Apostle Paul in Acts 20:31. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. You know, he has been touched by God. He is now a broken vessel for God. Something has broken inside. Very few people that I know personally preach the gospel and the call of God or the message of God's love constantly with tears in their eyes, flowing because they love the people. But Paul says for 3 years, the love of God in him keep causing him to call people to repentance with tears in his eyes. In the book of 1 Corinthians, it looks like such a strong letter he wrote. But when you read 2 Corinthians, in the first few chapters, you will find that Paul says, I wrote to you the other epistle with tears. And then you notice this is the same man who told Timothy, his disciple. And you know the reason why he chose Timothy? Because he found in Timothy the ability to have a soft and broken heart. In the book of 2 Timothy 1:4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. So you know what Paul had become? He had become healed of his anger, and now he is full of love. The Bible tells us in his epistle, the love of God constrained me to preach the gospel. It was no more anger or self-righteousness. It was the love of God propelling him. And so here is a healed man, Paul, who retains his characteristics of being strong in the Lord, a confronter. And there's a healed man, Peter, who retains his character as a man who tries to make peace with as many differing groups as possible. When they get together, they sometimes quarrel. And in fact, Paul at one time also quarreled with Barnabas because he again was a confronter. He was no compromiser. At the end of Acts 15, after the Jerusalem conference, the Bible tells us that in verse 38, Paul insisted that they should not take John Mark with him, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. And Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark in verse 37. But in Acts 15, verse 39, it says, the contention became so sharp they departed with. That's a nice way of saying they had a big quarrel. They quarreled over John Mark. But just in case we mistake what the quarrel is about and how they parted, I read to you some church history that records the incident in a detailed way. It is not canonized, but it's recorded in among the history of the Nicene Fathers on the incident of Acts 15. Because Acts 15 leaves it like they quarrel and then one they storm apart, you know. Barnabas says, I'm taking John Mark. And Paul says, that's fine, I'm taking Silas. And they went separate ways. Looks like that story in Acts 15. But that's not true. In church history, it records about the departure between Barnabas and Paul. And let me read that to you. When it came to pass that they finished teaching in Antioch, this is in the Acts of Barnabas in the Nicene Fathers. It says, in Antioch, on the first week, they took counsel together to set up for the places of the east. After that, to go into Cyprus and oversee all the churches in which they had spoken the word of God. And Barnabas entreated Paul to go first to Cyprus and oversee his own in his village. And Lucius entreated him to take the oversight of his city, Cyrene. And a vision was seen by Paul in sleep, that he should hasten to Jerusalem because the brethren expected him there. But Barnabas urged that they should go to Cyprus and pass the winter And then they should go to Jerusalem at the feast. Great contention therefore arose between them. Barnabas urged me also, the one who wrote this one is John Mark, right? The troublemaker, rather. He's not really trouble, the one whom both were quarreling about. And Barnabas urged me also to accompany them on account of my being their servant from the beginning, and on account of my having served them in all Cyprus until they came to Perga or Pamphylia. And I there had remained many days. But Paul cried out against Barnabas, saying, "It is impossible for him to go with us." This is John Mark recording the story. "And those who were with us there urged me also to accompany them, because there was a vow upon me to follow them to the end. So that Paul said to Barnabas, 'If thou wilt take John, who also is surnamed Mark with thee, go another road, for he shall not come with us.' And Barnabas, coming to himself, says, 'The grace of God does not desert him who has once served the gospel and journeyed with us. If therefore this be agreeable to thee, Father Paul,'" Father Paul, he must be older than Barnabas, "I take him and go." And he says, "Go thou in the grace of Christ, and we in the power of the Spirit." And this is a lovely part. "Therefore, bending their knees, they prayed to God. And Paul, groaning aloud, wept. And in like manner also Barnabas, saying to one another, 'It would have been good for us, as at first, so also at last, to work in common among men. But since it has does seem to good to thee, Father Paul,'" is this recorded by a Catholic? No. Okay. "Father Paul, pray for me that my labor may be made perfect to commendation. For thou knowest how I serve thee also to the grace of Christ that has been given thee. For I go to Cyprus and hasten to be made perfect. For I know that I shall no more see thy face, O Father Paul.' And falling on the ground," what a touching story, "at his feet, he wept long. And Paul said to him, 'The Lord stood by me also this night, saying, Do not force Barnabas not to go to Cyprus, for there it has been prepared for him to enlighten many. And do thou also, in the grace that has been given to thee, go to Jerusalem to worship in the holy place, and there it shall be shown where thy martyrdom has been prepared.' And we saluted one another, and Barnabas took me," that is John Mark, "for himself." That's a true story, recorded in history. So it was not like the book of Acts, Levit, the quarrel like that. When you look into the detail, they actually cried. They hugged one another. They kissed one another. They pat one another on the back. And they wept, it says, long. Don't know how long, right? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And they cried over each other. And they prayed over each other. And then Paul says, "Yes, the Lord told me in the night vision that I should let you go this way." And then after that, they parted, blessing one another. That's healing that has taken place. So we conclude, when God heals Peter, when God heals Paul, in all this, the basic thing is, number one, when God heals our brokenness inside, we become tender-hearted, and have what we call a broken and contrite spirit. A broken and contrite spirit doesn't mean that we retain hurt in our lives all the time. But it means that now that you've been healed by God, and one who is healed, remember Jesus' parable. When he turned to the person at the table and says, "Simon, who do you think loved me more? The one who has been forgiven more, or the one who is forgiven less?" And Simon answered and said, "The the one who has been forgiven more.